Thanks for the opportunity today. I didn't mention my title, but we're talking about planting corn as early as we can, and really in a kind of a more specific environment where we've got no-till situations in high clay soils that present some unique challenges. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Mark Clausen and Larry Maddox, both in the Department of Agronomy at some of our outlying research fields. This is what we'll be covering. We'll talk about the situation, as I mentioned, with those no-till cropping systems on high clay soils. We'll talk about some of the research then that we conducted to address that, and wrap up with a few recommendations then that we're instituting in terms of our corn management systems. Look at our corn production trends in the state of Kansas. Corn acres have been going up, and pretty significantly, especially in the east central and southeast crop reporting districts in Kansas. Here's the chart that shows the increase here for east central and southeast. Very rapid increases in corn acreages in those areas. A lot of it at the expense of grain sorghum, honestly. Probably some wheat acres coming out of that. But in this area is where we've got, in southeast Kansas, a lot of our clay pan soils. And if we don't have clay pans, they're at least very high clay soils quite often, at least in our upland regions. We do have some alluvial soils as well, but we tried to stay off of those. For this study, we're really looking at our high clay soils. What happens there is that historically, it's been tough to grow corn on those soils because we run out of moisture so quickly if we have more than a couple of weeks without rain, because they're very shallow rooted quite often and it's hard to extract the water. And so that's where we had the early corn early going on in southeast Kansas for a number of years. But the other thing that's been coupled with the increase in corn acreage is the increase in no-till. And this is a statewide figure for Kansas. I don't have it separated out for those districts, but no-till has been increasing. So as you move those planting dates earlier, that gets to be a challenge in these soils. Here we see just our historical planting dates, 50% planting date for these two crop reporting districts. You can see a kind of a vertical line there. I think that's when the crop reporting ag statistics kind of gets on the ball and finally starts figuring out they're planting corn again and reports data, but kind of reach an early window there. But a lot of it happens in that April time frame. We've got these two dates here. If you take those two out of there, you can see kind of a nice boundary line that you see our yields drop off, tend to drop off, our maximum yields drop off as we get later. These happen to be the last 2 years we've planted corn, 07 and 08. Somewhat unusual years. We've gotten by with murder because we've had unusually high rainfall in that area. So the objectives were to determine if we could extend those earlier planting dates a little further away from those very high clay pan soils, and maybe move a little earlier than kind of our current recommendations are. We do know a number of producers are pushing that earlier already. But also then, as we know those planting dates are moving earlier, do we have to make some changes in our management in terms of hybrid maturity and populations? To do this, we looked at three planting dates, mid-March, somewhere around the 1st of April, and mid-April. Kind of categorize those as very early, early, and average. Now, a lot of those folks in that part of the state would say that April 1 is their target, but a lot of times it doesn't happen. Looked at hybrid maturities of around 98, 106, and 112 days relative maturity. Very early, maybe a medium early and a medium full in terms of those cropping systems for that area. Populations depended on location, and what we did was we looked at the recommendations and we went plus and minus 4,000 plants per acre. And those are plants per acre, not seeding rates. So the actual seeding rates would be higher. Honestly, I'd probably recommend a little higher than that, but I wasn't in on making the decisions necessarily for every location there either. And then we did this at three locations, and they're kind of on the edges of that very high clay pan soil region, kind of straddling the Flint Hills region here. in some of the areas where we have replaced a lot of sorghum acres with corn over the last 10 to 15 years. We had 5 years at Heston in the South Central District and 3 years at each of the other two locations. And in, I believe, every situation we were in, no-till corn following soybean. Moving into the results, we had 11 location years in the study, and in four of those location years, we had no interaction between the effects we were looking at. And so we just had main effect responses of date, planting date, hybrid, or population. It's interesting, if you look here, three of those are in 2008, right? Every location in 2008, and that's the year we had rain about every week, very consistent, and didn't see much of an impact at all. As a matter of fact, the later we planted at a couple of the locations, the better our yields were. Now, when I say later, we're talking the middle of April, but that was superior to those early April or mid-March time frames. Now, you can see by those dates there, we didn't always hit our target, right? Sometimes you're just up against the weather, and the cool, wet springs were an issue in 2008, for that matter. As I said, in those in 2008, either planting date didn't make a difference, or the later we planted, the better. The hybrid maturity, the fuller maturing hybrid, was better, or it didn't make any difference. And in terms of population, the more plants we had out there, the better off we were. And you might expect that in a year with above average rainfall and pretty favorable rainfall distribution. Ottawa 06 is a different year, a slightly drier year. You can see our yields aren't all that great. No effect of hybrid maturity or population, and superior yields in with that late March, early April planting date that year. Had a number of location years where we did have some planting date by hybrid interactions. Often, though, if you look at these three location years, you can see the trend is pretty much the same. The fuller maturing hybrid does better regardless of planting date. It's just the magnitude of the difference that's changing that picks up the interaction there. But that doesn't matter to me as long as the fuller season hybrid is better. That's what I want to plant. It is interesting, though, that the advantage is greater the earlier you plant here at this location anyway. That was a trend in three of those locations. At the Heston in 06, it was just the opposite trend. The fuller season hybrid went completely the other direction. If you look at the yield levels there, we're talking anywhere from 30 to, you know, 70 bushel yields, and that was a very tough year down there at Heston. A very dry, very stressful year. If we were in an environment where you consistently had those kind of yields, we'd be looking at the skip row planting that Bob talked about, or we'd be recommending sorghum probably. And quit messing around with corn. But hopefully those years are few and far between, but they do happen. We did have a few other location years with the hybrid by planting date interactions, and if you look at this, you'll see that there are some holes in our charts, right? And this was 07. We were able to get that mid-March date in at the dates indicated there. It's actually a very beautiful March, and it took off and grew wonderfully. And then in April, we call it the Easter freeze of 07, we had two or three nights of temperatures down in the teens, actually, for several hours each night. And a couple of days, it didn't even get above freezing. So often we think of those early planted corn stands as being able to handle a late frost, just get a little burning on the on those emerged leaves. Well, this penetrated more than an inch below the soil surface and took out the crowns pretty effectively at all three locations. But we added a date at the other end of it there, right? So we ended up with 3 days. We were just looking at some pretty late dates. And at Ottawa and in Manhattan, you'd see the response you might expect, that the later you got, the fuller maturing hybrid did performed more poorly. And that's the response you might expect. At Heston in 07, didn't really see that. Not sure what's going on there. Actually, even with that June planting date, the fuller maturing hybrid did better than the others. Probably no difference, though, in terms of when you look at the error bars. Population response. Here we're looking at the main effects. We did have just three populations, as I mentioned. But if you just look at the main effect over all locations and then the different lines represent the different years, either we're seeing a greater yields with more plants per acre, or there's no response, right? Didn't hurt us to have more plants, but it didn't help us either. Even in that year of Heston at 07 or 06 when we had such low yields, we didn't get a negative response there when we just look at the main effect. But we did see instances where we had pretty good year here in Manhattan. This would have been in 08, excellent year, actually probably not quite, probably a little better soil than we had in some of our other locations. When we have those higher yielding situations, we had a greater response to population, and I'm sure we didn't have as many plants out there as we could have. But we did have some interactions embedded in those that showed up. A couple of those at Heston, yeah, there's interactions and there are some crossovers going on, but they still are following that same trend in every situation. It's just kind of the magnitude of the trend. Ottawa of 07 is where we did see some different types of responses going on depending on planting date. But that was that year of the freeze, and really the only time we saw a negative response, and this is probably pretty much equal to flat, was when we were getting into mid-late May and definitely getting into June, which in that part of the state was probably past the cutoff when we want to think about planting corn in a typical year, either switch over to sorghum or soybeans. That's the only time we saw that kind of a response. Did see some occasional hybrid by population interactions, but they weren't very consistent and really couldn't pick up any patterns there that we could feel real comfortable making any recommendations about. And honestly, the seed companies probably have a better handle on their hybrid responses in different environments than we're able to get in this kind of a study, but we sure didn't see anything consistent there. So just to wrap it up, planting date response did depend on year and location. Didn't see yield reductions in mid-March unless we lost it entirely with that one freeze, right? Did see a benefit with that very early planting date in that very dry year at Heston. One thing we noticed in 2008 when we did have a cool, wet spring, that early planting date came up and established, but it emerged within a couple of days of the second planting date. So we were able to get it in, but it just sat there. Obviously, the seed treatments we have nowadays and the genetics allow that to happen and allowed it to come through in pretty good shape. Just in general, that early planting date was probably the most consistent. We avoided the highest risk of the freeze damage, plus we avoided those potential yield losses when we got kind of late. Look at hybrid maturity. Again, it depended on year and location. At Ottawa, our medium maturity was probably the most consistent. At Manhattan, fuller maturity tended to be better, except when we got very late in our planting in that freeze year when we put in that late date. Heston, kind of a similar situation, except for that drought year when the response was just the opposite, when the earliest maturing hybrid yielded the most. Look at our populations generally. More seeds we had or more plants we had out there, the better. I will admit these are probably slightly on the lower end of what we should have looked at. I would have liked to have had maybe one more level out there to bend those lines over a little bit. We did see greater responses when our yield level increased, and really didn't see much of a drop off in yield even in that drought year with our greater numbers of plants. But again, we're operating in a pretty conservative number of plants per acre. In terms of the recommendations, planting date, probably early April is still recommended, and that's within the window we're recommending, but probably can feel fairly confident that producers can go ahead and push that earlier than some of them are operating. Probably could go earlier if they wanted to assume some risk, if the weather looked like it would cooperate. Again, that 07 year March was very good, and so it was hard to predict that April freeze coming, so there's some risk there. Don't really need to adjust our hybrid maturity with those early planting dates, but if we do get into late May and June, we probably want to think about making some switches away from some very late maturing hybrids. and in terms of populations, may not need to adjust our populations. Don't feel like we have to adjust our populations, but we can be more aggressive with populations with our early maturing hybrids and may want to be more conservative with our later maturing ones, and we're probably out of time. Okay. So thank you.